Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Once again today, our guest is Nancy West. Nancy is a marketing and outreach specialist for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Nancy has worked in the mortgage industry since 1977, holding various positions, including being an underwriter. Nancy joined HUD in 2004, and in 2006, she accepted one of the four nationwide marketing and outreach specialist positions. Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice to be back.
We had just touched on the subject of bulk buying, and we started talking about nonprofits. And I can remember in the 90s that there were investors that had nonprofits that dealt with HUD in quite some volume. So why don't we touch on that for just a sec?
Okay. Nonprofit organizations do have on our website for REOs on the bid site. There's a specific list for nonprofits to acquire HUD REO properties. In order to become a nonprofit organization, all the instructions for that and all the application forms and the process that you have to go through, you have to be a 501c3 company, which is classified as a nonprofit with the Internal Revenue Service. All those instructions and what you need for employees and what kind of experience are all contained on our website at www.hud.gov.
Okay. And I recall there used to be a special list for, I don't know if it included firemen, but I know it included policemen.
Actually, you're right. And it was, it's what we call today, we expanded it, our Good Neighbor Next Door program.
Okay.
GNND, Good Neighbor Next Door program. It includes policemen, firefighters, paramedics, school teachers.
Okay.
And they have an opportunity to acquire a HUD REO property at 50%. Of the sales price.
And just have to live in the home for a certain period of
they
time?
They have to occupy the property for at least 3 years.
Okay.
And then the 50% is forgiven. What's done is the sale is done at the full sale, assuming it's $100,000.
Right.
They have a first mortgage that they make payments on, $50,000, and then the second $50,000 is a silent second. As long as they meet the guidelines of remaining in the property, occupying the property for 3 years, that second is forgiven.
That's a nice program.
It sure is. And it's designated, the difficulty with them for a HUD REO is it must be classified in a revitalization area.
Okay.
And right now there are not a whole lot of revite areas that are out there.
Well, that kind of brings up another question. NSP funds are probably directed toward those same areas. Are you, does HUD sell a fair amount of inventory as of now to the cities or the counties who have been given the NSP funds?
Well, I'll tell you, it's up to the city or the county, the state, to decide what they're going to be doing with the NSP money.
Okay.
Some cities are, in fact, acquiring REOs, and not just HUD REOs.
No.
It's any type of REO that's out there. Some are acquiring HUD REOs, rehabbing them, reselling. Some are acquiring REOs and turning them in and converting them into rental opportunities for folks in their area.
Just wanted to touch on the reason for the foreclosure. I mean, a lot of foreclosures right now. And we had touched a little bit on fraud. What role does fraud play in the number of foreclosures? And I don't mean just for FHA, because FHA really doesn't have as many as most lenders do.
Well, it's interesting. The FBI released a report on Friday about the fraud and the amount of fraud that they've seen from the increase. And fraud played a big part. If you look at the top states by fraud, they're California, Arizona, Nevada, Florida, New York, and Michigan. And we know all of those states to be the hardest hit with the foreclosure crisis as well.
And that's where I'm sure people felt the need to exaggerate things just to participate in owning something.
I can't say whether it was consumers exaggerating, loan officers, realtors. I think the role was played by many.
Mm-hmm.
But to put one group ahead of the other, I'm not sure that can ever be done.
You know, what's interesting is we now have loan modifications being qualified for, if you will, which is almost the opposite scenario. You have somebody trying to paint a bleak picture of their finances to qualify for a loan modification in some cases. So you almost have reverse.
Well, they certainly, let me tell you, Bruce, you certainly don't want to paint a bleak picture for a modification.
No.
To the total contrary, consumers need to be as truthful and as factual as possible, because if they attempt to paint that bleak picture, it may not qualify them for the modification.
That's an interesting point. And if they, you know, we had just recent experience where somebody was had done a trial loan modification and they were denied, and it was the opposite. They were making $20,000 a month and could easily make their existing payment. They had just decided not to, and they don't qualify for a loan mod either.
Oh boy!
Well, that's a strategic default, and unfortunately, you know, they are one of the participants in the problem, is people that are upside down.
Right.
The mission of HUD, and this was, I found this very, very interesting when I read this. It said the mission is a decent, safe, and sanitary home and suitable living environment for every American. And when I read that, I realized that there was an absence of the word ownership. And it gave me an idea that perhaps the scope of HUD was broadening to consider that there might be more renters than there have been before, but both scenarios were equally as viable. So that was my take.
Okay. HUD and FHA missions are exactly as they were.
Okay.
FHA is under the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and each of us, we each have our own missions, although working together. HUD's mission is to provide, it's to strengthen and provide homeownership and rental opportunities to the underserved, first-time homebuyers, minorities, and elderly.
Okay.
Okay, and HUD does that in a variety of ways. As you know, HUD provides, for example, Section 8 housing vouchers. That's a mission of HUD, is to get people into safe, affordable rental housing that they can qualify for. Additionally, we have we at FHA, being part of HUD, want to promote homeownership for those same individuals. We want to strengthen and provide homeownership opportunities to the underserved, minorities, first-time homebuyers. We want home retention opportunities for the elderly with our reverse mortgage. So our mission really has not changed at all. It's just refocused.
Okay. You mentioned something. It's embarrassing, but honestly, I forgot that HUD was connected to Section 8 housing.
Oh yes, absolutely. And there's a few programs that we have available that people aren't necessarily aware of. One of the other programs that we have, not only to the Section 8, and you know, when we need to dispel the myth that Section 8 housing is bad housing. It's not bad housing. It could be your neighbor and you don't know it, that owns a property that's been classified as a Section 8 home. Individuals that rent in those Section 8 single-family dwellings are very successful. They most of them graduate from the program and end up being homeowners themselves. So the program is very successful for us. Additionally, for example, on the FHA side, we have the Disaster Relief Mortgage Program that most folks are not aware of. And that is the only program that we have that does not require any down payment at all to purchase a home if your home, whether you owned it or rent it, was destroyed in a natural disaster.
Okay. Well, you've had your chance to be very busy in that category too, then.
Yeah.
Wow. I do notice that every time that there is a disaster, that's the first word you read is HUD is doing something there.
Absolutely. Anytime the president declares a disaster area, the very next thing that we do is we issue a notice to all servicing lenders that they are to that a moratorium has been placed on any foreclosure action, that there's to cease foreclosure action for, and we will generally specify a period of time. Because we need to give people a chance to figure out what's happened in that particular area. Additionally, in a lot of disaster areas, HUD will send staff to assist homeowners and renters and help FEMA in those areas as well.
Getting back to the Section 8 housing, what is the qualification process? And I'm just curious, the group of people that want in on that program must have grown enormously over the last 2 years.
The group that wants to rent or the group that wants to own a Section 8 home?
Well, the group that wants to rent using Section 8 as a, you know, as a subsidy.
Sure. What they need to do is they would need, the consumer would need to apply with their local housing authority.
Okay.
And the housing authority goes through the qualifications with that consumer, with that borrower, with that tenant, renter, and they will determine their qualifications and see what properties are available for them.
Now, do you have lots of houses? I mean, we definitely have rented through Section 8. We've had very good results. So I'm definitely a participant in it on the supply side.
Right.
Is there enough supply?
And that question I cannot
okay.
answer because it comes under HUD's umbrella
okay.
as opposed to single family FHA.
Okay. Let's talk about some loan modification efforts that have gone on. And
okay.
this is something that I've been watching it, you know, for the last couple of years, and as time has gone by, it definitely looks like the government is definitely gotten more generous with what they're trying to attempt to do.
I think this has been it's been a very fluid process. If nothing else, that's what you can say about the whole industry right now, is the fluidity of it. Same thing with the foreclosure crisis and the modification crisis. Understand, when it first hit, lenders were still looking at lending, not collecting. They didn't have the systems or the staffing in place to address the problem. As time has gone on, the person that maybe couldn't get a modification 3 months ago can now get it today. A lot of that has to do with the current administration's implementation of additional features allowable under the Home Affordable Making Home Affordable program,
mm-hmm.
With the use of TARP funds. There's been a whole lot of things that the government has come forward with to make it easier for lenders to work with consumers in doing these modifications.
Is the modification for an FHA loan very similar to Fannie and Freddie?
The irony is, FHA has always had a modification program since the inception of FHA-insured mortgages.
Okay.
That's one of the features with an FHA-insured mortgage. FHA requires a servicing lender to provide loss mitigation help when a borrower falls 30 days delinquent. I mean, it's a requirement. And we do monitor the servicing lenders to make sure they're complying with that. FHA also has, we have a forbearance option. We have a partial claim. There's a modification. We have HAMP. HAMP doesn't even come into play under FHA because of the other tools that are already in place. So HAMP is, while it's a tool, it's not the instant tool because we may have other things that are better for the consumer. We also have short sale, possibly with incentives. It depends. We have, and of course, deed in lieu of foreclosure and ultimately foreclosure, worst case.
Now, do you also have a deed in lieu with a leaseback provision?
We do not have a leaseback
okay.
provision.
Okay. And if somebody decides to deed in lieu instead of going through the whole process, as of yet, there's not a time benefit for that. They're not able to buy again yet earlier than the person that just puts it through foreclosure?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, where it will affect that consumer, and I'm speaking now on your side, is it will have a different impact on their credit score from what I understand.
Sure, that's true. Loan modifications, not for everyone. So there are some groups that aren't invited to that one. So what groups are left out of any chance of a loan mod?
Well, there are individuals that will not qualify for a modification because they can't afford the mortgage.
Okay.
I mean, they just couldn't afford it. Should not have been put in the home to begin with. Never would be able to afford it because even with HAMP, the way the Making Home Affordable program works, the debt that may or may not be set aside currently, there's only a certain percentage reduction that could be held on, let's say, a second mortgage. And that's a 30% to get the borrower down to qualifying based on debt ratios. Well, some consumers, I remember working with a consumer at a foreclosure workshop, their debt would have to be forgiven like 80% just to qualify for the mortgage based on the income. And that's just not possible.
No. There's no non-owner occupied loan mods.
That's correct.
Okay.
Not the way any of the guidelines are currently written.
Is HUD participating in this may be a silly question, but it would seem almost necessary. HUD must be participating in helping fund loan modifications that are not their loans?
Right now, that's the funding that's coming is being used with the TARP funds.
Okay.
Okay. It's not any of HUD's funds
that are being used. But it's not necessarily HUD's original loan that is in a problem, is it? In other words, is HUD able to make loans and help solve some other lender's situation?
Oh, no, no.
No?
Not at the current time, no.
Okay. All right.
But those are some of the things, as I said, this is fluid. And some of the things that are being looked at may have one of those as a component.
I know way back in the very beginning, there was a program, and I forget what it was called because it's so long ago and all the initials that have happened since then. But the original one that I recall was that a lender could get 90% of the value of the property. Let's say they had a $400,000 loan and the house was now worth $200,000. That HUD was in a position to write a loan or write a check for $180,000 and keep the owner in the property.
That's the Hope for Homeowner program. Well, it may have been the FHA Secure program. The Hope for Homeowner program, which expires at the end of this year, as well had that component. But some of the things that you're dealing with, Bruce, and you probably know this being a realtor yourself, is, you know, whether the second is willing to leave the property.
Yes.
And as you know, the seconds are saying, I'm not going anywhere.
You know what I think happened too on that one? I think it was a great idea that was too early because the lenders were still optimistic about what their chances were of recuperating a very big percentage of that. And I think it took a lot of time before they realized, holy mackerel, this is worse than I thought. Which kind of brings up another point. One of the things in this fluid process is starting to come up is principal reductions.
Correct.
Do you see, I don't think that's part, maybe I'm wrong, is that now part of any of the government programs? I know B of A just came out and said they were going to do it.
And again, it goes back to what they're going to be able to utilize some of that TARP money for. And some of that TARP money will allow them to modify, reduce it, and be reimbursed with the TARP funds. But as far as what FHA has right now, we do not have that program available.
Okay. There was one question I left unasked on the nonprofit side. We talked about the discount that was available mm-hmm. to the firemen, policemen, et cetera.
Right.
What is the discount to the nonprofits?
Do
you remember that?
Don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure that the properties are discounted.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I think it's a different discount, actually.
Pardon?
I think it might be a different discount. I'd like it to be 50%. That would be good, but I don't think it is.
If I can get back to you in an email, then you can share it with your audience.
Okay, sure.
Because I really don't know the answer.
There was I went to the website and I noticed a couple of programs that are there $100 down programs?
Yes, we do have $100 down on HUD REOs. They are strictly on HUD REOs.
Okay.
Okay, and the property will list that way. Special determination is made for each area. Currently, I will share with you, currently all areas have $100 down for owner-occupied.
Okay.
And that is up to the appraised value.
Okay. Meaning that if somebody wanted a house real bad, then they overbid, they'd have to come up with the rest of the money.
Excellent. Very good.
Okay.
And that is it exactly. So it doesn't revert to the 3.5% down normally. If they're acquiring the property using FHA financing, they'd only have to come up with the difference between the list price and what they bid.
Okay.
And then $100 down.
Okay. Does it still work the same way? Because I used to buy a lot of HUD when we used to have auction.
Right.
In the 90s. It used to be the winning bidder wasn't necessarily the highest offer, but the highest net to HUD.
That's correct. The highest net to HUD.
Okay. I kind of like that.
That has not changed.
Okay. I noticed, too, on the website that there was a program for veterans that was something about free housing. Do you recall anything like that?
You know, we had a program for veterans that was no down payments.
Okay.
But when the Housing and Economic Recovery Act passed in 2008, that they removed the $100 down. I mean, the no down payment requirement. So veterans do have to put down 3.5%, just like everyone else.
Okay. And HUD is also in the development business. It's not just existing inventory they happen to take back, but there are HUD projects that are built and, as a matter of fact, win awards.
That's correct. And that, again, falls under the HUD umbrella.
Okay.
As opposed to single-family FHA. But, yes, we are involved. We're involved in projects all over the country, and that's to provide safe, affordable rental housing.
Okay.
And one of the missions of our Secretary Donovan is to also take those buildings and make them green, to bring them up more energy efficient. And by doing that, it hopefully provides jobs as well.
I think that'll be a trend that we see across the board. Any government-owned homes, I think, if there's a buyer that can align their business model with what HUD or even Fannie or Freddie wants to end up with the inventory, and green would be one of those categories that you probably have a better chance of dealing with, getting a chance to bid on the property perhaps. There was quite a lengthy, not an article, but a report called the New HUD Plan 2010 to 2015, and we're down to a minute and 30 seconds, but it looked like there were going to be some not significant changes in intent, but in methodology, to where HUD was going to become sort of less bureaucratic and much more fluid, if you will, listening to the people that were in charge of departments, et cetera.
Sure. You know, the first goal is to help stem the foreclosure crisis. You know, we absolutely play a vital role in that. It's been our mission since 1934 and since coming into HUD in 1965. We need to meet the need for quality, affordable rental homes. When you have this many people being displaced, they need some place to go. So that goes back to the green issue. Utilizing housing as a platform for improving the quality of life. We understand that home ownership is still a good investment. That has not changed. It provides wealth for people in the future by building equity in the homes. We want to build inclusive and sustainable communities free of discrimination. Fair housing, equal opportunity is and has always been one of the department's missions. And then the biggest, probably the biggest, is transforming the way we do business in that, you know, things come to us slowly as far as change. And it's not because of want and it's not because of need. It's sometimes because of our systems. Our systems are antiquated and they really need to be brought up to the 21st century.
And with that, Nancy, we're out of time, but I wanted to touch on that because I think that's important. If FHA and HUD are open to hearing from the people that are on the front lines, I think it becomes a more effective program.
Absolutely.
Nancy, so glad you joined us for the last couple of shows, and I hope we can do it again in the next year or so.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right, Nancy, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.